Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Hey, once again, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Sorry about the difficulties we had for 2 days in a row. So, you know, I'm blaming it on the heat, but it could have been anything. I'm a lean toward blaming everything on the heat. We had a couple of shows that were abruptly cut off or cut into or whatever. And, you know, I'm thinking it was the weather because it was really hot on those days. So it could have, something could have interfered with the show, with the computers. And something's always going on with the computers, folks. So, you know, if you see a show on this website, Blog Talk Radio, if it's 48 minutes or 112 minutes, you know that something went wrong because my shows are usually 90 minutes long, 190 minutes long. So anything less than 130 minutes is short, is probably abruptly ended. You know, because sometimes as a host, I can also abruptly end some of my shows sooner than they're supposed to go off the air. So anyway, we got that out of the way. So, you know, things happen. The George Wilder Jr. Show is alive and well and always will be, hopefully. Always will be. If not, I'll let you know. Things could happen. You know, some things that are uncontrollable happens. And not just me. I mean, it could be television. It could be over-the-air radio. It could be internet radio. There's a trillion of radio hosts out there beside me, but I think I'm the best. I want to be the best. All right. We have author Jasmine Robinson on the show. And hopefully, I believe she's going to be talking about jazz or something like that. I'm not sure. We just have to wait until she hopefully do the show today. All right. The weather is it's in the 60s, I believe, low 60s, maybe 68, 69 degrees, but it's humid. The humidity just messes up everything. You know what I'm saying? The humidity, it's a very nice day. You can tell that summer is coming to a close because the days are getting shorter. That's one of the tellingest things about summer, especially the ending of summer, is that the days are getting shorter. And that's a bummer, in my estimation. That's a bummer because I just love the long days, you know, because sometimes I'll do the radio show in the daylight and I'll end it in the daylight. But once the days are cut shorter, I'll end the show in the dark, start the show while there's daylight, I'll end it in the dark. So, you know, I totally don't like the dark, but, you know, I've always had to deal with it, you know, so. Yeah, we just have to make the best of it. I want to say thank you for tuning in to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want to say thank you for downloading and podcasting the show, listening to the show anytime you want. And that's one of the greatest things about the George Wilder Jr. Show is that you can always listen anytime you want. You don't have to listen live, which is preferable, but you can listen anytime you want, anytime you get off work, anytime you are not as busy as you usually are. Just go to your computer and just Blog Talk Radio, George Wilder Jr. Show, and just scroll down. There's a lot of shows to listen to, you know, and some of them are very, very good. I think most of them are good. Some have guests, some don't, you know, it doesn't matter. The show has got to go on anyway. So, you know, just check out the podcast on this website. If you can't listen live, or if you can't sit down with your family and just enjoy the show, because there's always something on the show that you can use, something on the show that you can learn. The show is about informing, inspiring, entertaining, and empowering, making the world a better place. So, you know, it's directed by me. I produce it. I write it. I do every damn thing there is to do. Because I like saving money. I mean, why pay someone to do something when you can do it yourself, right? So that's what I do. I mean, I'm the sole bearer of this show. You know, my son is into his own thing, so that makes me the sole bearer of this show. And it's fun. I mean, hey, wow, just like writing. If it wasn't fun, I wouldn't do it. I was telling a guest the other day on one of the shows, one of my past shows, that writing, everything I try to do, I try to make it fun. Because if it's not fun, you know, you're going to be miserable. You're going to do it. You're going to be miserable. Your heart's not going to be in it. So everything I try to do, and hopefully you out there try to make it fun. You know, no matter what you do, try to make it enjoyable. You know, and do not do things that make you sad. Do not do things that, you know, that are wrong. Do not do things just to please other people. If you're going to do stuff, do the kind of things that are going to please you, because you can never, ever please everybody. Everybody is not going to like you. Everybody is not going to love what you do. Everybody, even if what you do is good, you're going to get people out there that's going to criticize you and say awful things about it. You know, but you know that you're good. You know that you can do it. You know that you can get there. You know, so get the negative voices out of your ears, out of your brains, and do what you love. Make it fun. I've had people say, well, George, what can I do? I don't know. What do you do best? What do you like to do? You know, and you can always turn your hobby or whatever you like to do on the side. And especially when you're enjoying it, you can turn that into some sort of a business, you know, because if you enjoy it, other people are going to enjoy it. Forget about the negative voices, because there's always going to be people out there who's going to criticize you. They're not going to like you because of the things you do. But as long as the things you do are helping you and helping others, what do you care what they think? You know, you got to not care what people say, because if you care about what other people are saying about you, you'll never make it, because you can't please everybody. Everybody is not going to like what you do. Even if you do it good, even if you're a success, people will still try to criticize you to bring you down, to make you feel worthless. There's going to be people out there to do that. And once you succeed over all of those negative voices who are trying to destroy you, they're going to come after you. They're going to come after you for jobs. They're going to come after you for money, even though these same people tried to keep you back. But they saw that they could not keep you back, that you're going to make it anyway, because you was determined, because you knew you had that talent inside of you. To hell with the negative voices. To hell with the negative people. Get them out of your life and do something you love and enjoy your life, because it's short. Life is short. It's not as long as it used to be. You know, so once again, this show is about making the world a better place. That's all it's about. I would not be on this show if it wasn't fun. I couldn't care if I got one caller or one listener or one guest. I will still do the show because I love what I'm doing. I enjoy what I'm doing. I make a difference in the content of this show. It makes a difference, if I can say it. It makes a difference out there. And I know people are listening, and I know people are taking what they hear on this show and using it to better their lives. And that's fun to me. That's fun to me. This show is not always serious. We can be funny, but sometimes we have to put the jokes aside and be serious about what goes on this show and what we're talking about, because we're talking about bettering your life. You know, I'm not talking about bettering my life. When you tune in this show, it's not about tuning into this show to give me ratings. You're tuning in the show to learn something. You're tuning into this show to hear something that you haven't heard before anywhere else. You're tuning into this show to have fun, to laugh, to be a part of. That's why. It's not about me. So many people think, when I, you know, share a link of this show with them, there's so many people think I'm sharing a link to try to promote this show. I'm sharing a link to try to promote those people who are on the show. You know, that's what it's all about. It's about helping you. This show is just a platform to get your name out there. And this show, like so many other shows, we're all over the world. I get calls and guests on this show from all over the world. So I know that this show is reaching a lot of people. Whether you're listening live, whether you're listening, you're podcasting, downloading, you can always go into iTunes. This show is on iTunes, and you can always, you know, listen to the show, download the show. It's free. This show is free. There's no money changing hands anywhere on this show, period. You know, but there's so many other shows where there is. You got to pay to be on. You got to give a percentage of whatever they are asking you for, to do commercials on their show, run ads on a show for your product. That could happen here, but I haven't gotten into that yet. But anyway, there on other shows, you have to fill out all. You want to be a guest on other shows, you have to fill out documentation. You got to fill out 3 or 4 forms. On this show, you don't have to fill out any form. The only thing I require of a guest to be on this show is to have a web page, somewhere where I can go to check out the information about them. That's it, a web page. And hopefully an Amazon author page also. And that's it. And for them to be who they say they are, that's it. I mean, there's no cost. There's no paperwork. Because I've been on the show 2 years now, and it's going on 2.5, I believe. And everyone that's been on this show, and there's been a whole lot of people. I'm trying to keep track of them. There's been a whole bunch of folks, and not one of those guests ever been asked for money. Not one of those guests has been asked to fill out 2 or 3 page documents with all the information. I don't need that. My show is fast and swift. I book you, and I go to your website and go to your Amazon page, and if I like what I see, you are on the show. That's it. That's it. I give you all the information on how to do it. You can either call in or you can come in and be in the studio. It's up to you. It doesn't matter. You know, so, and you will get plenty of exposure on this show. There's no doubt about it because it's a popular show. And that's, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying the fact. So it's a popular show. So, you know, I mean, if anybody want to be, and if you want to have a product or something, ran on the show, we can talk about that. I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. People advertise every day and all the time, you know, so, and advertising means dollars. So if you have a product you want to sell, you're trying to sell, you want to get the word out about a book or whatever, you know, contact me and let me know, you know, so then we'll try to see what we can come up with and get that done for you. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio right here, WTTTY. I very seldom use those call letters. And I've been on the show. I've been doing this show a long time. I said, what is it? I don't. And I listen to other shows, and they have call letters. So I said, I better get some call letters. WTTTY out of Chicago, Chicago's finest radio. Chicago finest radio came from one of my radio guests, one of my guests on the show. Her name was Melissa Hood, and she came up with that. She came up with some drawings and stuff like that. You can also, if you want to see that, you can always go to my website, georgejwilder.com, junior, georgejwilder.jr. Okay. .com. All right. You can see some of her artwork. I'm assuming that it's her artwork, because she sent it to me. But anyway, this is the George Wilder Jr. Show, and this is Block Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me all over the place. I am here. Hopefully we will not have any difficulties today because of the heat, and I'm assuming the heat, all right, because I can't find any other way to blame it. I can blame Block Talk Radio. Maybe they went down or something. I don't know, but anyway, let's hope there's no interruptions today on the show. And we will be right back, folks. We will be right back.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
All right, we are back. Chicago police. I don't know if you've seen this video. It's a video that they're bringing out now. It happened, I believe, 2 years ago, 2014. Chicago police officer strikes a man with his baton. I saw the video, folks. It is astonishing. It is unbelievable. This big, tough strong police officer, plain clothes police officer, tight t-shirt, big muscles, arms, big muscles, big arms. I mean, he looks like he's the type of guy who's been working out in the gym, lifting weights, okay? And this little guy, from my understanding, it was a block party. The police were there. And this guy, they were all over the place. Most of them, these guys I'm looking at, were plain clothes. And some guy was just an African-American, skinny guy with a hat on, I believe a beige hat. He was just standing there. And this big brute of a police officer, plain clothes, white guy, goes over there and grabbed this bystander, looks like he was a bystander, and grabs him, pulls him over into the street, hits him in the head with his baton, knocks him down on the ground, gets on top of him. Other police join in, handcuffed him, you know, and I guess after that, they take him to the station. He gets locked up for 12 days, and he didn't do anything. He was just standing there. If you saw the video, this guy, he was just standing there. And this cop just grabbed him, pushed him, pulled him into him, and just kind of elbowed him with the baton, the baton. And he hit this guy hard. And, you know, now the police officer is being brought up on charges. Obviously, brutal force, unnecessary police force. This guy was just standing there. And suddenly, in his police report, he put down that the guy was trying to hit him. And he was defending himself because the guy was not trying to hit him. It was clearly shown in the video that this man was not trying to assault the police officer. This just goes to tell you and makes you believe a lot more how police officers falsify their reports. I mean, I think there's about 5 or 6 police officers in line to be fired in the city of Chicago for falsifying their reports. I would say do not fire those cops for falsifying their reports, especially in the city of Chicago. I'm pretty sure they probably learned from it. Put them back out on the street because in the city of Chicago, the way the murder rate is, we need every cop we can get out there. We need every cop out there. If you fire them, you know, you're going to hire 2 more cops who aren't that familiar with some of the streets. And I'm pretty sure they're probably weighing that fact. But, getting back to this video, and it's still being shown around. So if you have the internet research it, and it will come up because it's all over the place. It's probably gone viral by now. You know, and this cop here, I mean, he's a muscle guy. You know, he's been in the weight room and stuff, and he's going to, you know, that's something that bothers me. I mean, these big, broody-ass cops picking on smaller people, weaker people, and abusing them, and then lying on their reports. So this guy may lose his job. If he hasn't lost his job already, I'm pretty sure his police powers have been taken away. But this just brings another saga into the police department, the Chicago Police Department, and the community. Because every time one of these videos are released, and they are released every time you turn your head, some video is released of some white police officer brutalizing, misusing their power against African-American. And I'm going to say this, and a lot of people do agree with this. If it wasn't for a lot of these videos coming to light, you know, exposing some of these rogue and rotten police officers, we would never know anything about this. And a lot of these police officers would have gotten away with committing crimes against the community. They would have gotten away if it was not for videos. If it was not for videos. And I'm not going to say thank God for videos. I'm just going to say I wish it would stop. I wished police brutality would stop. I wish black-on-black crime would stop. I wish senseless killings and murders would stop. I wish the mayor and the governor and the superintendent had a plan to lower the crime in the city of Chicago. It's always embarrassing to hear about this city and its murder rate on the national news. It is totally embarrassing. It makes you want to go and run and hide your head and say, I'm not from Chicago. It was this lady who she called into the show, not my show, but another show. And she clearly stated, she was African-American. She clearly stated that with all the black-on-black crime and black-on-black crime in general, just crime in general, she stated that she was ashamed to be black. And I wanted to call into the show and say, you know, I'm with you. She stated that she was ashamed to be black because of all the senseless violence on black-on-black crime and black this, black that, murderers, robbers, you know, and majority of the jail are filled. 90% of them are African-Americans, Hispanic-Americans. And, you know, she said that she was ashamed to be black. And the host, Ed Schultz, you know, he was trying to say, don't be ashamed to be African-American. Don't be afraid, ashamed to be black. But she was just saying it in the context of violence being committed by African-Americans. That's all. She was just saying it in the frame of that, you know, because there are a lot of just like terrorists. Most people think terrorists are Muslims, which they are. I think so, too. But then you got people saying, wow, all Muslims are bad because of only, you know, because they're terrorists. All Muslims are not terrorists. It's the same way with black people. A few rogue black people commit crimes, and a lot of other people of different nationalities look at all black people as being criminals. And that's not fair. Just like all Muslims are not terrorists. But you have people out there that think like that. That think like that. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will be right back. We're going to try and do this.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Job is to make decisions. He can't pass the buck to anybody. No one else can do the deciding for him. There is no job like it on the face of the earth. In the power which is concentrated here at this desk, and in the responsibility and difficulty of the decision.
60 GOP national security experts signed a scathing open letter opposing Trump, called Trump's vision of American power and influence, quote, wildly inconsistent and unmoored in principle.
If he governed in any way consistent with some of the things he said as a candidate, I would be very frightened.
He has neither the temperament nor the judgment to be president.
Say this flat out. Donald Trump is unfit to be president of the United States.
He's not fit to be president of the United States.
I know something of the solemn responsibility of leading. We must use our power wisely.
I think there are many people in the upper echelons of the military that are very concerned, not only about some of the things that Mr. Trump has already said he's going to ask the military to do, but more importantly, I think there's an inability for Mr. Trump, at least the way it's been seen, to take advice.
Right. And on what basis is he going to make his decisions? It certainly won't be on any sort of deep knowledge of foreign affairs and national security, because he doesn't have any.
He seems to think that he has all the answers, and that he doesn't need any advice from staff or anybody else.
And that falls under the category of toxic leadership.
Our diplomats are instructed to avoid purely rhetorical hostility. We do not need to use threat to prove we are resolute.
Mr. Trump's bombast is already alarming our allies and fueling the enmity of our enemies.
He doesn't have the temperament our judgment to control himself when he gets mad.
He would shoot from the hip. He would rely on gut instinct.
He is erratic. He says crazy things.
He said one stupid, reckless thing after another, and he's shown absolutely no temperament to try to learn the things that he doesn't know, and he doesn't know just about everything.
There is only one sane policy. A nuclear war cannot be won and must never be fought.
We're about to turn over the nuclear codes of the United States to an erratic individual.
He's been talking about the possibility, the future option of using a nuclear weapon against our Western European allies.
His finger would be on the nuclear trigger, and this is a man who doesn't know what the nuclear triad is.
This is not somebody who should be handed the nuclear code.
I think you have to ask yourself, do I want a person of that temperament control the nuclear codes? And as of now, I have to say no.
Regardless of your policies, whether you are Republican or Democrat, your fate is tied up with what is done here in this room.
Please welcome Admiral John Hudson from New Hampshire.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. My name is John Hudson, and unlike Donald Trump, there are two things that I know an awful lot about: law and order. For 11 years, I was a law school dean. For 30 years, I served proudly in the United States Navy, including as the Judge Advocate General. Thank you. Go Navy. Donald Trump calls himself the law and order candidate, but he will violate international law. In his words, he endorses torture at a minimum. He'll order our troops to commit war crimes like killing civilians. And he actually said, you have to take out their families. And what did he say when he was told that was illegal? He said, our troops won't refuse, believe me. This morning, this very morning, he personally invited Russia to hack us. That's not law and order, that's criminal intent. Donald Trump would abandon our allies and let more countries get nuclear weapons. He lies about donating to veterans, and he called the military that I served in a disaster. It's embarrassing enough that he's the face of one of our political parties. The real disaster would be if we let Donald Trump become the face of the country that we love. More than 120 Republican national security leaders, recently warned that Donald Trump would, in their words, make America less safe. He even mocked our POWs, like John McCain. I served in the same Navy as John McCain. I used to vote in the same party as John McCain. Donald, you're not fit to polish John McCain's boots. But but America, we have a better choice. Hillary Clinton is the only candidate who knows how to work with our allies, who has a specific plan to defeat ISIS. She's smart and she's steady. She has the experience, the temperament, and the spine to be a superb commander-in-chief. She knows what makes us the envy of the world. It's not our abundant natural resources, or our resilient economy, or even that we have the strongest military on Earth. Our strength comes from who we are and who we've always been, our humanity. If we lose our humanity, we lose the battle and we lose the war. ISIS and other radical groups have no humanity. That's their weakness. Our enemy can't defeat us militarily. Victory for them won't be found on the battlefield. For them, victory is to make us more like them. People who torture, who destabilize the international order, who target innocents because they don't look like them and don't pray like them. Donald Trump is a walking, talking recruiting poster for terrorists. And that's not hyperbole. ISIS literally used Trump in a commercial. You know, you can tell a lot about a person by whom they admire. Eleanor Roosevelt, Nelson Mandela, Dorothy Rodham. These are Hillary Clinton's heroes. Donald Trump? Well, Donald Trump admires Donald Trump. And Saddam Hussein, and Kim Jong-un, and of Vladimir Putin, he said, and I quote, in terms of leadership, he's getting an A. I taught national security law. Praising dictators was an automatic F in my class. Let me tell you something. In 2008, as the dean of the University of New Hampshire School of Law, I invited each presidential candidate to talk about terrorism. I'm not sure what they're saying. To talk about terrorism with me and other retired admirals and generals. Of all the candidates that we met with, Hillary Clinton was by far, the best prepared and the most knowledgeable. She listened carefully to our arguments. She tested us. We had more than 500 years of collective experience, and we learned from her. And this was before she served as our Secretary of State, before she brokered a ceasefire in Gaza, before she rallied the world to sanction Iran and advise President Obama to take out bin Laden. And she restored our reputation in the world. Anyone who served with the young men and women of our armed forces knows how serious it is to send them in harm's way. When you're a soldier, sailor, airman, or marine, you don't get to choose your commanders. But when you're a citizen, you have the responsibility to choose a commander-in-chief who will keep us safe, strong, and secure. Choose Hillary. Thank you all.
All right. I want to say something about Tim Tebow. Yeah, that's the guy who was with the NFL, but a lot of them say he was one of the worst quarterbacks they've ever seen. So, you know, this is one aspect of being persistent and going after your dream. All right, Tim Tebow, 29 years old, young man, athletic, talented. He was on a few football teams going from the National Football League, going from team to team, and they let him go. They cut him everywhere he went within the NFL, and saying that he didn't have what it took to be an ace quarterback. So they cut him. They let him go. But did he give up his dream on becoming an athlete? Okay, this is a former Heisman Trophy winner of numerous awards in college, but somehow he just couldn't make it in the NFL. They didn't want him. They laughed at him, you know. And a lot of teams cut Tim Tebow because they felt he was too controversial. He would bring too much media down on that particular team that he was with. Some cut him because of that. But most are saying that he just wasn't quarterback caliber for the NFL. But now Tim Tebow, he didn't let any of that naysay talk, that negative talk, keep him from pursuing what he wanted to be, and that was an athlete on a national level. Tim Tebow has just been signed by the New York Mets. He's now a baseball player. I mean, he auditioned. I mean, a few weeks ago, he auditioned for baseball teams out in the open. I mean, he was slugging that ball left and right. Every time he came, he swung and he hit it. You know, I don't know if it was a home run or base hit or whatever, but he hit the ball in general. And he was out there catching and fielding. So a lot of these scouts that were scouting players, watching this. And so they decided to, sign him. But it was more than one team who wanted to sign him, baseball team. It was more. So he's in the MLB, you know, so that's great. So he's found a team, the New York Mets, which he could have signed with any team that was interested in him. And there were a lot of teams interested in Tebow. But this goes back to what I've said at the beginning of the show. Live your dream. Do not let people say that you can't do it, or you don't have the balls to do it, or you don't have the talent to do it, or you can't do it. Do not let other people keep you back. Tim Tebow knew that he had something. He knew it within himself that he had something. If everybody else was saying he didn't have anything, but he knew it. And all he had to do was to get other people to believe that he had something to offer. And he did. He did not let the naysayers, the negative people, the people out there who are trying to bring you down, people out there who are trying to belittle you, people out there trying to say you don't have talent, you don't have what it takes. If you know that you do, you keep trying to pursue your dream. You keep trying to pursue what you want to do and kick the naysayers away from you. Kick them to the curb. I don't care if they're in your family. I don't care if they're your best friends. I don't care if they saved your life one day. If they are not in your corner, they are not with you. If they do not support you, give you their support, give you their good wishes, you don't need them. Why do you need people around you who are going to try to make you feel like you're nothing at all? You don't need people like that. Tim Tebow and other people like him, there's a million around the world like him. They say, to hell with these people who are saying that I can't do it, or I don't have it, when I know damn well I have it. That's what each and every one of you out there should do. Do not let people, especially people who themselves are nothing. Most of the time, when people are criticizing you for something that you're trying to do or you want to do, that you're capable of doing, these people who are doing the criticizing, they don't have anything. Some of them don't even have a job. They're not doing anything with their lives. They're too busy trying to muck your life up. And they have nothing whatsoever going for themselves. Because if they had anything positive going for themselves, they would not be as busy trying to ruin your life. You've heard that old slogan. I mean, you know, they don't have a life, so they try to ruin your life. Because most of the time, if people have lives, if they have something to do, if they're doing something great, they're going to try. And if they see you trying to do something great and you want to get further, they're going to try to help you. They're not going to try to hinder you. They're not going to say you can't do it. If someone sees you trying to better yourself, they're going to try to help you to better yourself because they see that you're trying to help yourself. So they're going to try to help you. But if they see you not doing nothing with your life, they're going to walk over you. The point is, get negative people out of your life. They are everywhere. They are all around you. If they can't support you, if they can't help you, if they can't supply a need to try to help you get your life together, you don't need them. You get rid of them and you keep pursuing that dream that you want to have. This is the same thing that happened to Tebow. And I admire this guy for that. And I say this every day on the show. This show is about motivating you and getting you to doing something with your life, getting those negative voices out of your head and getting those negative people away from around you. Because they will keep you back. I've known so many people and I've talked to so many people who were talented people, fun people, but they had other people in the background who were whispering in their ear that they couldn't do this. Who do they think they are? You know, bringing you down. And these people who are bringing you down, they aren't about nothing themselves. They're about nothing themselves. But yet they're trying to tell you that you can't do it. You don't have the talent. They're trying to stop you from making something good of yourself because they have made nothing of themselves. They don't want to see you progress because they have not progressed. They've made nothing of their lives. So they don't want to see you make anything of your lives. But be like Tim Tebow. Leave all of those naysayers in the dust and be the best you can be and watch them come after you. Watch them start lying and say, well, we never tried to stop you from getting anywhere. Be like Tim Tebow. Go after your dream. Pursue it no matter how many people are out there telling you that you can't do it. Tune them out and be the best person you can be. And watch them come after you, and they're going to say, well, I've always supported you. But you know that they did not. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That's a great story, folks. I'm glad I talked about that because I may talk about that again in the future because that's a great thing. Tim Tebow, he's now with the baseball team. He used to be controversial about prayer or something on the field, but he has really, really made something of himself where people were trying to keep him back. And don't ever let that happen to you. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. All right, shooting and, you know what? They're now calling it a shooting epidemic in the city of Chicago. They're saying it's a shooting field or what they call killing fields. Yeah, that's it. Killing fields. We need. We just don't have the personnel. We just don't have the plan to bring this stuff down. I've talked about this stuff on the show yesterday. We may have been cut short. But anyway, the superintendent of Chicago, Eddie Johnson, says that it's the murder rate, the killings in Chicago, the shootings in Chicago is a society problem. And I've stated a zillion times, it is not. He's just like a many police officers trying to cover their backside, you know, because a lot of people are blaming the police for all of this crime. They're not in the area. Where are they? They're supposed to be patrolling the streets, whether on foot, bikes, or in cars. You know, we don't see these people. If these police officers were patrolling the way they were supposed to patrol and get paid to patrol, maybe we wouldn't have as many murders, killings, because police officers, their presence is supposed to be a deterrent. They're not deterring anything. These bad guys are shooting their asses off, robbing their asses off in broad daylight. And all the police can do is show up on television and tell us about it and tell us that the suspect is still at large, which is bad news, because if they're at large, they're at large to do more shooting, kill more people. And I've said this several times, they need to hire more cops. And my understanding is that they are going to hire more cops. But if they don't do the right thing with these cops, the murders will still continue and go up. You can hire more cops all you want, but you better train them and you better have a different kind of plan when using these police officers. And I will say, have these new cops, police officers stationed. Okay, this show is offering, as I've always have on the show, offer solutions to the violence in the city of Chicago. I just don't sit here and just talk about it without a solution. We all should have solutions to this problem if you live in Chicago or no matter where we are. Solutions. And there's too many people out here who talk about the violence and have no solution. You got to have a solution to it. And my solution is, if you're going to hire more cops, and I hope you do, the solution would be, and you probably heard this before, folks, but the solution is to have these police officers stationed in these high crime neighborhoods. That means the police officers, if they're stationed, they never leave. 24/7, they never leave. If they leave, they are going to be replaced by another cop whenever they are getting off duty. Let's say a cop does 8 hours. After his 8 hours up, another cop comes and relieves him, or he does overtime or whatever. There always should be a police presence in these high crime communities. There should always be a police presence. Police should step up their patrolling. Patrol every 30 minutes or every hour or every 2 hours. Patrol every 10 or 15 minutes, because the bad guys know when the police are there. They know when the police are leaving. They know when the police are not going to be around at all. Because in some cases, you can go in some of these neighborhoods, you don't see a police car nowhere. You don't see a patrolman nowhere. But the minute someone gets shot, a kid gets shot in this area, the police officers are all over the place. They're all over the place. Where were they before the kid was shot? Where were they? Were they patrolling? No. Were they stationed in that area? No. But again, if he's going to hire Rahm Emanuel of City of Chicago, if he's going to hire more police officers, have a plan to put them in these high crime areas 24/7. Station, have them stationed there. Just like there's military posts, let there be a police post. Post these cops. Never leave that area. You will be a deterrent. And also, you can always call Chicago state of an emergency. That means that we will be getting federal funds to help fight violence in the city of Chicago. That can be done, but the mayor and the governor will not declare Chicago to be a state of emergency, and we all know it is. It just means that these people have no inkling of trying to fight and rid the city of crime. And it's all political. It comes to the point where it's political. Post them, like I said before, post them. Or get the military over there, the army. Arm the army. I mean, if these bad guys, if they shoot at the army's going to shoot back. What the hell? Get the National Guard. We need help with this violence. The superintendent, Eddie Johnson, is overwhelmed. The police department is overwhelmed. The bad guys are sophisticated. They're growing more sophisticated every day. They're out sophisticating the police officers. This is how you solve the problem in the city of Chicago. Are they doing it? No. Will they do it? No. If I contacted the superintendent and the mayor and talked about these things, will they do it? No. They'll listen, but they ain't going to do anything. You know, the governor, would he? No. So you have to put some of this crime at their door. You can't say, well, in the community, they don't have jobs. They don't have an economic advantage. That's baloney. Well, we need jobs. We need something for the kids to do. We need this and we need that. What we need is a police department with a plan. And I want to say this. I want to applaud all the people out here who are helping in these high crime communities to try and get these young boys and young girls on the right track. That's a great thing. And I do applaud them. And I want to do this for them. Yeah, I want to just clap my hand up and just say, hey, wow, thanks a lot for what you do. And I want to say thanks a lot to Father Flager, because he's the only one out there who seems to say it, tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. Chicago should be declared a state of emergency. But do you think they're going to do that? No, it wasn't their idea. They would be too embarrassed to do that. It's crime, you know, and our governor, Bruce Rauner, doesn't care about crime. He doesn't give a damn about it. He wants to break the state. We still don't have a budget, folks. If you've been listening to the show, you know I've been in his ass about not producing a budget and cutting these vital programs that are hurting families. He doesn't give a damn about the crime. He doesn't care. It seems like Obama doesn't care. Emmanuel, he's overwhelmed. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He'd rather be doing something else, like, you know, erecting more libraries or something, building more museums. He don't want to be out there talking about police brutality or the rising crime rates. He tries to avoid it. This guy should be thrown out on his ass. He is the worst governor, I mean, the worst mayor and governor that Chicago has ever had. He's the worst. I thought Mayor Daley was he was a bad one, too. He was a piece of garbage. But, you know, Rahm Emanuel, this guy doesn't know how to do. This guy, he's overwhelmed. And he ran for a second term. He will not be running for a third. He's out of here, you know, in 2018, 2019 or something. He's out of here, you know, because he's all about beautification of the city. And that's great. But hey, wow. How can you beautify something when you have when you've had 500 shootings, murders since the beginning of 2016? And how do you sleep at night? Emmanuel's own son was the mayor of Chicago. His own son was a victim of crime. You would think he would care a little bit more about it. You know, there's no doubt about it. He's reluctant to hire police officers, but with all the criticism, he has to do something. And to hire hundreds and hundreds of police officers, he has to find the money from somewhere to pay for those officers. And my understanding is that there's going to be a high water tax. You know, tax, tax, tax. And now that's about the best thing that this mayor is good for is raising taxes. And everybody in Chicago who has to foot the bill for these taxes, we are pissed off. Why are you constantly raising taxes? This will be the third or fourth time that they have raised taxes in the city recently. They raise them and, you know, it's just, well, thanks to taxpayers for understanding. We don't understand a damn thing. We understand that you're going in our pockets because you're raising these taxes on people who can barely pay for the previous tax you've raised. The two or three tax taxes that you've raised recently. Now you're going to raise a fourth one and a fifth one and a sixth time. This is crazy. He's a tax in chief commander. That's what he is. You know, and this is crazy. So if you are if you going to the laundromat or something to wash your clothes, it's going to cost you more because he's going to there's going to be a water tax in order to pay for these police officers. He can't seem to find money to pay for these things without going after the taxpayer. We're already paying for the schools. We're paying for police and firefighters. We're paying their pensions. We're paying for the teachers. They want more money. In order for them to get more money, he's going to go back and raise more taxes. This is loony. So he's just a tax mayor. That's all he does. I don't know how he can keep taxing us to death with a straight face. And then we have the city council, the 50 aldermen. They go right along with this. Well, they're making money. They can afford it. So many people can't afford it because a lot of these taxes that they're raising on us, some of these people can't afford them. You know, whether you're in an apartment or a condo or you're in your own home, if you're living in Chicago, if you're living in a box out there on the street, you're going to be paying taxes, higher taxes, more taxes. And a lot of people are going to be they will not be able to afford these taxes on top of tax. They'll be forced out of their home. They'll be forced out of their apartments. They'll be forced out of their box on the street because of these taxes. But the politicians, they don't seem to give a damn. You got people leaving the state, leaving the city because of the high taxes and because there is no budget. And it's just ridiculous. It's just totally ridiculous. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I'm still looking at this note I have about Tebow. I am so proud of this guy. Like I said before, a lot of people felt that this guy is going to be bringing controversy to the team because I think he's religious or something. I'm not sure. But anyway, he's living his dream and he has signed with the Mets. And I totally wish him a lot of, I wish him the best, actually. That's all I can do when people defy other people who are trying to keep them back. All right, shooting. Okay, we discussed this. Shooting epidemic in Chicago. Elder man. This is recently. He was 71 years old, folks. 71 years old. He was shot watering his lawn. Man. All right, what is this one? Okay, we talked about this. This guy strikes someone with a baton. That's ridiculous. Did you see it wasn't a debate. It was sort of like a forum. 30 minutes with Hillary, 30 minutes with Donald Trump, and it was moderated by Matt Lauer of Today, the morning show Today. And Matt Lauer is getting a lot of criticism. This guy is getting a lot a blowback. And you know what? I don't blame him. This guy did a horrible job. He let Trump get away with telling lies. And we wonder will the debates be like this? Will the debates be, will they be throwing softball questions at Trump and bashing Hillary? That's the thing, what happened in some of these settings like this. Clearly, Matt Lauer was in the pockets of Donald Trump, and he was not in the pockets of Hillary because you saw it. He threw softball questions at Trump. Trump lied through his teeth. Lauer did not challenge Trump on those lies, but when it came to Hillary Clinton, I mean, he was cutting her off. He wouldn't let her finish. He would let her talk about her emails, you know, so there was a double standard there. And he is being criticized. He is being bashed and lambasted in the media for being one of the worst interviewers of all time. Even though Matt Lauer has done a lot of interviews, probably over 100. But this one was not one of his best ones. This one was one of his worst ones. And that's not me saying that, just me, but that's the national media. So he's taking a lot of heat, and I would hate to be in I would hate to be in his shoes right now. I think anybody would hate to be in his shoes right now, because he is he may not show his face on his show tomorrow, today, the morning show today. So he's getting a lot of flack for that. All right. And also Donald Trump talked about he cozied up to Putin. And that's not a good thing. You know, I mean, I agree with Hillary. And she said afterwards that Trump proved once again that he's not fit for office. I totally agree with that. However, Hillary herself is still under a microscope with the American people, because a lot of people are still questioning her trust. So if you really want to say something, you say, wow, we got two people running for president who have problems. Of all the people in the world, why do we have Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton? It's mind-boggling. You know, I totally wished it was Bernie Sanders. If it was Bernie Sanders, he would be so ahead of Donald Trump, it wouldn't be funny. Hillary is losing to Donald Trump nationally, from what I understand. However, if the election was held today, she would get the electoral vote, which is what you need to most of the electoral rate vote is what you need to win the election. But we got two people who are totally flawed, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. They are flawed to the max. But we have to consider one of them, you know. There's also the other guy. What's his name? Gary Johnson and this other lady. What's her name? Jill Stein. They are assholes too. I mean, you know, where do they come from? They're making all kinds of mistakes. My understanding is that Jill Stein, presidential candidate, she has a warrant out on us. She has a warrant out on her. There's a warrant. Yeah, as of today, as I'm sitting here and speaking, she's a presidential candidate for president of the United States, but she has a warrant out on her. And this guy Gary Johnson, he was on a television show on cable, and he didn't know what Aleppo was. What is Aleppo? I mean, he's a governor, and he's running for president. He should know that Aleppo is the largest city in Syria, and he didn't know that. He came and said, what is Aleppo? So you got two flawed candidates right there. Some guy doesn't know anything about what he's running for, and another candidate who is wanted by the police. These are two people who are running independent of Trump and Hillary. So it's a mess. We have a mess of candidates running for president of the United States. However, saying that, my vote would probably go for Hillary. She's the lesser of the evils, I think. You know, we can't have Trump. Trump is unworthy. He's unfit. He doesn't have the temperament. He gets pissed off. He's upset. He was praising Vladimir Putin, which is not feasible in the United States because he's a dictator. He treats his people badly, and Trump just loves him. He says something nice about me, I'll say something nice about him. Now, what kind of answer is that? You know, what kind of answer is that? All righty. All right. Let's turn to each other and not turn against each other. Let's stop the fighting. Let's stop fighting each other. Stop hating on each other. Stop killing each other. Stop senseless shooting. Stop the senseless shooting. Put down the guns, go out and help someone, get out and make a difference in the world, help to make the world a better place, be proud to be an American. All right, read a book, write a book, always enjoy a great story. That's what this show is all about, to inspire, inform, entertain, and empower. Lately, it's been hard to entertain, because everything in the world is so serious. People are so serious. It's just as serious as you can be. And it's traumatic, but we are still going to try and make the world a better place.
For 30 years, I've been teaching this, and I've taught this for West for 30 years. I've been Microsoft and teaching this, Lilly and Delta, and I've taught this for the largest organizations, West Point, and companies in Delta, and teach the five levels of leadership. Because and they, the largest organizations understand, and they come and say, John, teach that if you and I today in these five levels can understand leadership, because they understand.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
For everyone.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. I think that what the world needs now is totally love, sweet love, sweet love. And that's what this show is about, trying to find that love and trying to make the world a better place. And that's what it's all about. At least we making that effort and trying to make the better, trying to make the world a better place is the focal point of this show. You know, because there's always going to be something said on this show, something talked about on this show that's going to help you to try to make your life better or make someone else's life better that you know of. And, oh, my goodness, they're calling Trump the liar in chief after that debacle last night. And that's what it was, a debacle led by Matt Lauer, because some of my Facebook friends were saying, and I totally agree, that the media is just so in the pocket of Trump, and Trump is not in the pocket of the media. I mean, Trump can get away with lying through his teeth and nobody challenges, no one challenges him on that. And that is something. I mean, he said that the generals, he's going to fire some generals, and that they had been reduced to level. I mean, not to level, but to rubble. Yeah, rubble. They had been reduced to rubble. And that's not true. That's not true. And by him saying that he's going to fire some of the generals within the military, now, before he even gets in office, he's going to say that he's going to be firing people. Now, you've just lost those people's vote. Do you think they want to be fired? They're not going to vote for you to fire them. I mean, Trump doesn't think before he talks, and he talks after he finishes, after he thinks. It's just ridiculous. And he digs even deeper into the Iraq war. He said that he was against it, then he's a for it, then he's against it. I mean, every time I agree with the president, I think Trump is totally unfit, even though I'm not an Obama fan, but I think that Trump is totally unfit. He shouldn't be nowhere near the Oval Office. Every time he opens his mouth, it's controversial, but he doesn't think so. And he's in love with Putin, and there's no doubt about it. He tried to get Russia to hack Hillary Clinton's emails. And then when that blew up in his face, he come back to say it was sarcasm. As we listened to him last night, it was not sarcasm. It was just something that he was trying to cover his ass over, and it has not worked. Trump is unfit to be president, but there is no doubt that he could wind up being president of the United States. It's enough clowns out there to vote for him. You know, he's an outsider. He speaks his mind. Yeah, but his mind is twisted. Donald Trump previews his nightmare presidency. This is what the Huffington Post is saying. I know it's nightmare. It is totally nightmare. Okay, Hillary Clinton actually smiled plenty. I don't know. The Republicans were saying that Hillary Clinton didn't smile much. I actually think she smiles too much. She should get a little bit more serious with Trump, because Trump is closing in on her. And I do believe that one of the reasons why Trump is closing in on her nationally is because of her email scandal, which is going to stay with her through her presidency. And I want to say this again also. Let's say if Hillary does win the presidency in November 2016, if she has a Congress where the House of Representatives are Republicans, the Senate is filled with Republicans, majority Republicans, she will not be able to get anything done. She will be a Democratic president with a Republican Congress. And that is just going to give more gridlock. That will not get anything done. Despite of all the promises and all the things that she says she's going to do when she's president, if she has a Republican Congress, she will not be able to do any of those. So my point is, what I'm trying to say is, if you're going to vote for Hillary Clinton to be president of the United States, vote for a Democratic congressman and a Democratic senator. Give her some people to work with. She cannot work with the Republicans. Obama cannot work with them, or did not work with them. And he tried. I mean, he bent over backwards. I mean, he tried, especially during his first term. I mean, that's all he did, was bent over backwards to Republicans. And they just, it's going to be the same thing with Hillary. If you don't give her a Democratic Congress, she's just going to be sitting there for 4 years. That's it. Giving speeches and talking about how ruthless the Republicans are, how mean-spirited they are, and getting nothing done. We all know that. We know what they are. But people, you got to get out here and vote. And there are still people out here, even now, who will not get up off their asses and register to vote. And when things start happening financially to them in a negative way, you know, they're looking here and there. Did you vote? You know, because the Republicans are not out to do anything for you. They're out to take whatever you have, even if you don't have anything. They want that. And they will get it. You have to vote. You have to get everybody in your family who are old enough to vote to register to vote. Or we will be in trouble, even if Hillary Clinton does win. She wants to do this, do that, do this. We're gonna blah, 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 blah. If she doesn't have a Democratic Congress, she will not be able to do anything. It will be totally gridlock. The Republicans will be trying to impeach her. You remember that. And I've said this, I believe, on yesterday's show. They will be trying to impeach her over her emails. They don't give a damn about what the Justice Department said, or the FBI, or the Attorney General. They don't care about proof. All they know is this is a scandal, and they're going to impeach her for this. There's no doubt about it. Even Hillary knows this. So if you don't want her to be impeached, if you want to vote for her, I'm not saying, I know a lot of you out there is going to be voting Donald Trump, but that's your preference. That's your prerogative. But if you're a Hillary Clinton voter, you've got to give her some people to work with. And as we know, she will not be able to work with the Republicans. Let's say if Donald Trump is president. Let's say if he's president, he's going to have maybe a Republican Congress that may or may not work with him. Some like him, some don't. But I do know for a fact, if Donald Trump is president of the United States and he has a Democratic Congress, it will be gridlock. However, Donald Trump can still destroy the United States, because he can destroy it with his executive powers and his clearance. So, because that's how Bruce Rauner is doing. That's what Bruce Rauner is doing to the state of Illinois. He's using his executive powers and not working with the Illinois legislature in the state of Illinois. So if Donald Trump wins, he has a lot of power still, if he doesn't even work with Congress, because he can misuse his executive authority, because he can sign into law so many bills. It's crazy to do this, to do that. He can start wars. You know, he'll have his finger can be on the button, you know. So whoever you vote for, the fact is, vote. I'm an independent. Oh, you know, I mean, I'm not a Democrat nor a Republican. I fell out. I have voted Republican. I have voted Democrat. And, you know, so, you know, I fell out of favor with the Democrats because they're just so cowardly. Some of them are. They can't seem to. Can't seem to find where their shoelaces are sometimes when it comes to the American people. So I fell out of favor with them a long time ago, because I can remember back in 2000, I think it was 2010, when the Democrats had the White House, they had the House of Representatives, and they had the Senate. They had the whole enchilada. Everything, and still they couldn't get anything done because they were fighting each other. fighting each other. Obama was president, of course, but they were fighting each other. They fought each other so badly, the voters voted their asses out and put in Republicans. And the Republicans have been in power in Congress ever since. And I'm going to say this again. If you want Hillary Clinton, you better vote Democratic down the ticket, or she will be forced to deal with a Republican Congress. And we know how that turned out. Turns out we totally know how it turned out for Obama. It wasn't good. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's what time is it? 7:25. We got about my 5 more minutes into the show. Can we do this? I guess we can. All righty. Oh, it's been fun, folks. I hope you join me tomorrow for the show. And no, we're going to be off tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday. We're going to be off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We will be back on Monday. The show is from 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 6 to 7:30. If you run across a show that's shorter than that, it probably tell you that we've had some difficulties with the show. But I let it stay on the website because, you know, some of the things that I had to talk about, or we had to talk about, were totally viable, if I can say the word.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven never saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw.
All right, the George Wilder Jr. Show is just about off the air, folks. We're going to be off the air for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Got to do some writing. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning into the show. Thanks for all your accolades. Find me on Facebook, Amazon.com. I'm all over the place, Google, you name it. And I want to say have a great weekend, folks. We will see you Monday. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.